This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Sheldon, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, who is like thee, gracious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders among the sons of men, and how we thank thee for working in our hearts by thy marvelous grace. Oh, we do pray this prayer of the Apostle Paul for this waiting radio audience today, that thou wilt strengthen each and every one with might by thy Spirit in the inner man, and that each one will be rooted and grounded in Christ. Faith may be in their souls. They may lay hold of him and walk with him day by day. Lord, give us that grace that is needed to preach thy word this day. For it is in Christ's name that we ask. Amen.
Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King, and I shall see him face to face, and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face, and tell this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me, and I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace.
say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. We're always happy to hear from you and know of God's dealings in your heart by this marvelous grace. Did you write for your free book that we're offering this month entitled Letters of John Newton? It's a book that each and every one of you ought to have. It's a blessed little book, a series of letters that he wrote over the years to different individuals on different subjects. Submission to the will of God. Blessed are they that mourn. The all-sufficiency of Christ. The benefits of affliction. How to keep close to the Lord. How to meet the attacks of Satan. And many, many others. We'd be happy to send this little book to you free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. Last week, we began a series of messages on the general theme, the grace of God. In that first message, we gave you a definition of grace and then showed how God's grace flows to us through Christ in the election of grace, the effectual call of grace, the forgiveness of sins by grace through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, and then the grace of our union with Christ in crucifixion and resurrection. Today we desire to continue these messages on the grace of God by looking at the power of grace as it manifests itself in the deliverance and salvation of a lost soul that is under the reign and dominion of sin. I want you to listen. Oh, that you would lay down everything and listen to this message today. And I pray that God will take it home to each and to every heart. Are you listening? We read in Romans 5, 20 and 21 these words, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." So if grace, God's grace, is to abound over sin, and if it is to reign where once sin reigned, then, my dear friend, it must be powerful. Therefore, it must be sovereign grace, God's grace, as it reigns over the hearts of sinners where sin and death once reigned. And but now, by the grace of God, grace reigns. Will you listen? It is when we see what grace has to overcome to save sinners that we can begin to understand how powerful grace must be. The question is asked, what is it that the power of grace has to overcome in the salvation of sinner? I will answer by saying that the first thing that grace must overcome is our spiritual deadness. You see, Ephesians 2:1 reads, "And you hath he quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sins." You see, dear friend, we are all by nature spiritually dead. That is the condition of the whole human race, all mankind, apart from the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We have all died in Adam, according to Romans 5, 12 through 19. We are born into this world spiritually dead, without 1 ounce of spiritual life. Therefore, the first thing that grace has to do is to meet this condition of spiritual deadness in which we are all found by nature. What the Scriptures mean by this is that we are dead to the interest of our own souls. We are dead to the life of God. We are dead to spiritual things as they do not interest us at all. You see, that is the condition of the vast majority of people in the world today in and out of so-called religion. They have no thought of the things of God, and they dismiss them when they are mentioned to them. That is because they are spiritually dead. They have no spiritual awareness, no spiritual understanding, no conception of these things at all. So, dear friend, grace has to overcome the state of death. It's nothing but the power of the grace of God in Christ Jesus can do it. The second thing that grace has to overcome is the state of antagonism to the truth and of antagonism to God. This is also the tragedy of the situation of the natural man, every sinner outside of Christ. Not only does he fail to respond to spiritual truth, but he hates it. He spurns it. He opposes it. And as we read in Romans 8:7, the carnal mind, the natural mind of man, the fleshly mind, is enmity against God. My dear friend, it is not simply that man by nature is dead and does not respond to truth. He is also at enmity against God. His mind and heart are not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Again, we are told in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. And why not? Because they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He laughs at the things of the Spirit of God. They are nonsense. They are folly to him. They are utter rubbish. That is why he does not receive them. It is not only that he cannot receive them, but that he is actively, bitterly opposed to them. He rejects them altogether. You see, this is the biblical understanding of the awful and fearful condition of the natural man. In things spiritual, he is opposed to them. He hates them. And he calls them foolishness. I ask the question then, how is this man going to be saved when he is in this condition? There is but one answer. It is by the power of grace. You see, it is because the power of the reign of grace is altogether greater than the power of the reign of sin that any man can be saved. You see, dear friend, Satan does not want to lose his citizens, his slaves. He is the strong man armed that keepeth his goods at peace. He guards them and surrounds them. He is clothed with armor and has his mighty fortification around them and holds them captive at his will. How then can any ever be redeemed? I say, what the Scripture themselves say, nothing less than the power of God can do it. And I praise the Lord that grace can do it. And he does do it. God does it by his marvelous grace. Let us go further. For grace to do this then, it must be powerful and it must be irresistible. For if grace were not irresistible, no one would ever be saved. You see, grace does not merely help us. Grace does not merely assist us. It comes in and actually reigns where sin once reigned. It does not take no for an answer. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the dead sinner, the antagonistic sinner's will is overcome. And he is made willing in the day of God's power. And the poor sinner, now overcome by grace in the power of the Holy Spirit, cries like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:10, I am what I am by the grace of God, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. And why? Because it was powerful and irresistible and did not take no for an answer. Dear friend, I want you to listen to this next statement I'm going to make now. If after grace presented to us the love of God in Christ as the way of salvation and reconciliation back to God, are you listening? And then left the final choice with us as to whether we are going to take advantage of this grace or not, it would leave us in a worse fix than we were in before. And you ask why? Because being dead spiritually, we would never respond to the claims of the gospel. We would die and go to hell apart from the irresistible grace of God not only to bring us to salvation, Titus 2:11, but also by its wonder-working power to teach us. To teach us to do what? To deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and to teach us to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Titus 2:12. In other words, if God did not take the initiative by His grace and subdue our depraved wills and make us willing in the day of His power, then we would never be saved. Beloved, I didn't write this. This is God's Word. I'm going to give Him all the glory for the salvation that He gives in Christ. I don't go for all this little malarkey of up and jumping up and down and hollering and screaming and getting a little feeling and making a little decision and doing the best that we can. This won't turn the trick. Baptism won't turn the trick. Church membership won't turn the trick. Being morally good won't turn the trick. It is the irresistible grace of God that must do the work in your heart and mind, or we are for eternally lost. And I'm going to preach this until I die. I'm not going to give man one bit of glory for the salvation of his soul. I'm going to give it all to the irresistible, sovereign grace of God. Are you listening to me? Let us now see how this irresistible grace of God in Jesus Christ operates. First, it seeks us out. Luke 19:10 tells us that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. So the irresistible grace of God by the Holy Spirit seeks us out. You see, John 10:3 tells us that Christ by His Spirit, through this irresistible grace, this reigning grace, calleth His own sheep by name and leadeth them out. In verse 27 and 28 of John 10, He says, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Yes, grace seeks them out and finds us where we are lost. And if it didn't, we would never be saved. Second, grace by the power of the Holy Spirit convicts us of sins. Of our sin, not somebody else's, but my sins. And oh, what power is needed to do that, to convince the natural man of sin. Ha ha, but you said, it's as easy to convince and to convict a drunkard or a dope fiend or a whoremonger of his sins. But I ask you, is it? Well, I'd like you to try it. You will find that he defends himself and rationalizes his sins and explains them away with the utmost ease. And that is not all. What happens when you come to a proud Pharisee such as Saul of Tarsus was? What can possibly convince and convict such a man as this of his sin? I repeat that it is only one power that can do it. It is the power of grace that can strike him down and make him cry, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Yes, only the irresistible grace of God that reigns through righteousness can convince a man of his sins and bring him to cry after God for mercy. To so convince him that he forever despairs of self and rests only in the righteousness of Christ and His precious blood to cleanse him and to clothe him and to make him a new creature in the Lord Jesus. Third, grace reigns and shows itself to be powerful in regenerating grace. You see, a man can no more give himself the new birth or regenerate himself than he could produce himself in his mother's womb. You see, a man is not born again, regenerated because he believes. He believes because he is born again. This is so clearly set forth in John 1:12-13. There we read that a man believes because he is born again, not by his parents' blood, not by his own will, but by the will of God. You see, this takes place by the power of the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, by the same power that raised up our Lord Jesus from the grave, according to Ephesians 1:20. Fourth, grace reigns and shows itself powerful in its restraining power. And dear friend, I praise God for that restraining grace. You see, the restraining power of grace is manifested in God's people even before their conversion. They are not allowed to sin to such a degree that they put themselves outside of the scope of salvation. They are never allowed to blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. They may say many things they should not say against Him, but they are never allowed to blaspheme. But not only that, but the power of restraining grace is also necessary even in the Christian, the believer, the child of God. For he is surrounded by temptation and often tempted from within, and he's hard put to make it because sin comes against him so powerfully. But I thank God for the power of restraining grace, that grace that holds us back, that grace that prevents us from doing those things that would harm and damage our immortal soul. We are kept, according to 1 Peter 1:5, by the power of God through grace unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the fifth place, I said, I would say that grace reigns and shows itself powerful in our sanctification. You see, in salvation we are saved from the penalty of sin, which is the second death. We are also saved from the power of sin. One day we shall be saved from the very presence of sin. But now we're being saved from the pollution of sin by the power of sanctifying grace. Here we see the power of grace manifesting itself daily against indwelling sin. Sin in the flesh, sin in the body. And I for one thank God for the power of sanctifying grace as it works in our lives, as it reigns over the power of indwelling sin and delivers us daily from its pollutions and cleanses us from all of our sins. Sixth, I would say that grace reigns and shows itself powerful in supporting grace, of which all are constantly in need. My dear friend, I ask the question, what is going to keep us when sin, the flesh, the world, and the devil comes against us with all of their combined forces? For you see, these are ever threatening us and attacking us. So how are we going to overcome them? James 4:6 tells us, He giveth more grace. Whereas 2 Corinthians 12:9 tells us, His grace is sufficient for us. Praise the Lord for the powerful, supporting grace of God that sustains us constantly, day by day. And then I would not forget that grace that reigns and shows itself powerful in enabling and preserving us day by day. Here again is something we constantly need. We have seen how that we are brought out of the bondage of sin and are delivered from the second death in hell, an antagonism toward God and His Christ. We have seen how we are restored and how we are sanctified and supported. But the question is asked, how are we going to continue on the rest of the journey? How are we going to hold out in the Christian warfare and the fight of faith? The answer is still the same. It is the power of reigning grace alone that makes possible and guarantees the final perseverance of the saints. Philippians 1:6 tells us how He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And what this means is that what the grace of God starts, praise His name, it will finish. You see, dear friend, God's grace so works in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that we are enabled to persevere to the end. I believe the songwriter puts it best in these words, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Oh, praise God for the powerful, irresistible grace of God that overcomes our state of deadness, our state of antagonism to the truth, overcomes all of our sins, and is powerful and irresistible in its operation as it seeks us out, convinces us of sin, regenerates us, restrains us, sanctifies us, supports us, and preserves us all the days of our life. My friend, this is the salvation that God gives. It's not a little bitty thing of our making or something that our will does, but it is by the will of God working in us, very powerful, that we come to know and to understand and appreciate the salvation that God has worked out for us in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I, for one, praise Him that it's not left up to my puny little will, but it's by the irresistible grace of our living God. My friend, do you know anything about this? Do you know anything about this? The grace of God operating in your heart? Was it just a little profession that you made? A little assent that you gave to four spiritual laws? Or was it the powerful operating of the grace of God upon your soul? And you can say, Pastor, I give all the glory to God, for He did it. He operated in my heart. It was God's grace, His irresistible grace, that called me unto Christ and unto holiness. And I praise Him that He broke my heart, made me a new creature in Christ Jesus, and gives me that grace day by day to walk in a way that I could not walk before. Oh, we praise God for this, don't we? We who know Him. My dear friend, do you want a copy of this message and you write us? Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We'd be happy to send it to you free and postpaid. Will you listen next week? Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.